Good morning. I just wanted to, something that's been on my heart for a while, was to look at the households that the Apostle Paul visited or spoke about throughout the scripture, and something we can get from these households, some encouragement we could get for our lives. And the first one I'd like to talk about is Philip, and that's in Acts 21 and verse 8, and I'll read verse 7, and it says, "And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. And the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy." And here we see Philip, the house of evangelism. And I think it's something that is very important in this day and age, that we should be encouraged to be those who are evangelists. And we see here that the first time we see Philip was that he was being called to be an evangelist. We know that he was the one who preached to the eunuch. He also was one of the ones who left Jerusalem and went down to Samaria in Acts chapter 8. He went down to Samaria. He was in Jerusalem. He was a Jew. And he went to Samaria. We know that the Jews and the Samaritans didn't really have a lot of dealings. And he also was the one who went and preached to the eunuch. And so evangelism, what this tells me, evangelism is something that is not comfortable, right? You sometimes have to go into uncomfortable circumstances or, you know, meet different people, as it were, for the Lord. And so he was someone who had to go to maybe a hostile environment because he was a Jew. He went from Jerusalem to Samaria. But also the eunuch, he was an Ethiopian. He was somebody who didn't look like him. He was somebody who he wouldn't have normally associated with. And he went and preached the word to him. And it reminds me of when I was younger, not that old, but when I was younger, when I first really was on fire for the Lord, I remember, when I first got saved, when I was a child, my sister and I, we used to go out and we used to go hand out tracts in front of our house. And, you know, I mean, you know, now looking back as an adult, I mean, you know, we're like, wow, you know what I'm saying? That would be very uncomfortable for me to do now. But I mean, having that fire in for the Lord, we wanted to tell other people about what the Lord has done for us. And we went out into, I remember we were in front of our house and people were passing and we would give them tracts and people would take it because they see two little kids. And so they would take it and we would tell people about the Lord. I remember as I got older, you know, one time I was with one of my friends and he was like, let's go preach on the train in New York. And so we went and preached on the train and people were saying, all kinds, shut up, you know, be quiet. You know, you're disturbing us, you know, and stuff. And so, like, after a while, we were like, oh, maybe we shouldn't, you know, preach here because, you know, it's an uncomfortable situation to be evangelists. But the Lord has called us, he says, to go out into the world and preach the gospel. And it should be a desire of ours when the Lord has done something for us. We know what he has done for us. We want to tell the world. It doesn't matter what creed they're from. It doesn't matter, you know, where they are in life. We want to tell others about him. And I was encouraged even the song that we sang, and as Jesse said, that sometimes the life that we live is what people see, right? And this was a man who was dedicated to the gospel. It's that the Bible even says here, it says that he was an evangelist, right? That was his characteristic. That was something that, you know, people looked at him, they said, this guy is an evangelist, right? You know what I'm saying? He was willing to go anywhere to talk to anyone about the Lord. And, you know, sometimes we do, as we get older, we want to be in comfortable situations, right? I mean, I don't want to go to somewhere where, you know, I might get, you know, degraded or somewhere where I might, you know, be in a hostile environment to tell people about the Lord. But that's what the Lord has called us to do. He says, go ye into the world and preach the gospel. So it says here that he went into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And it says, and the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And that's the other thing. When we are those who would live our lives to further the things of the Lord, to further the gospel, it has an effect not only on us, but on those around us. It says that he had four daughters, and they were virgins. And, you know, virgins speak of people who are pure. You know, they had a pure life, right? And I believe that they had a pure life because of the effect that their father had on them. And I think that's the encouragement we could have, is that as we further the things of the Lord, the people around us, they will start to try to emulate, not us, but what they see us and our dedication for the Lord. And they said not only that they were virgins, but they said that they did prophesy. And that's somebody who prophesies has to have a relationship with the Lord. It has to be, you know, because the Lord is speaking to them and they are speaking out what the Lord has told them, right? And so in order for you to do that, you have to have a personal relationship with the Lord. You have to have a good prayer life. You have to have somebody who is in tune with the Lord. And this is what happened. I believe that he had effect on his daughters in a big way, and that they prophesied and they had a pure life. And I think the encouragement for us is that, and sometimes you could get discouraged, right? Because you could tell somebody the gospel and you feel like, well, it's not, you know, they're not changing, or I'm not getting the effect that I want, or it's not producing what I want to produce. But we don't know how many people he had won to the Lord. But we see that it had an effect on his daughters. It had an effect on his home. And so the Lord had called us to be evangelists, calls us to not be comfortable in our Christian life, but to be those who would go out and preach the gospel. And it will bear fruit. We may not see the effects of it. We may not see it immediately, but it will affect our family and our household and those around us. And so the encouragement we can have from Philip's household is that we should be evangelists. The next one is in Philemon, the house of Philemon. And it says, verse 1, it says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dear beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is his house, Philemon, I want to say, is a house of testimony. You can't have a church in your house if you're not. It would just be so contradictory, right? I mean, you can't, if you have a church in your house, people have to see that house and have to say, well, this is a house that is pleasing to the Lord. Or you would want to believe that that person's house is a house where people are coming to that church. They would say, well, this brother, you know, has a good testimony. And Paul attested to that. Paul called him a dear beloved and fellow laborer. And I think the encouragement we can have here as fellow laborer is that he was dedicated to the things of the Lord, but he also was affectionate. He says that dear beloved and fellow laborer, that he was in service for the Lord, but he was an affectionate person. And sometimes we need those two things together, right? You know, we can have somebody who can be dedicated to the things of the Lord, but sometimes they lack in affection. And I think the two are needed together. And also his wife, Paul could say that she was beloved also, that she was an affectionate. She was an affectionate person also. And I think the encouragement here we could see is that we see the whole family had traits that were of good testimony, right? It says Archippus, which, you know, some believe was his son. He said our fellow soldier. And I think these are our three characteristics that are needed in our testimony, that we have to be affectionate one towards another. When you as a believer are affectionate to our brethren, is that we have a special care for them. We don't see them, we are worried about them. If we know they're sick, I believe that Philemon would have been this type of brother, that he was very affectionate. Actually, his name, I believe, means affectionate, right? That he was a person who was, affection was part of his thing. He loved people. Right. He loved others. And so the encouragement here, I believe, is that we should see is that as our testimony, as we have a testimony in the world, people should see us as people who love one another. Right. That we should have love for one another. We should see others and see them with the love how Christ loved us. We should love each other. But also fellow laborer is that he was a servant of the Lord. But fellow means somebody who works with other people. Right. If you see the word fellow, it means you work alongside. Right. And so he was somebody who worked for the Lord, but he is also a person who could work with other people. And I think that's something that we need to think. We need each other in the work of the Lord. We can't do it on our own. We know I know we have the Lord, but we also can't do without our other brothers and sisters, right? Whether it be prayer, whether it be encouragement. You know, we go through this life, we get discouraged, you know, the cares of this world, the things affect us, you know, and we sometimes go through bouts of discouragement. And so we need our brethren. And so, you know, having a fellow laborer, somebody who we could work alongside and can help us as we further things of the Lord, I think is very important. And again, his wife was very affectionate also. And I know that's something that is huge. Sisters are sometimes one of the most affectionate or loving, you know, people who can reach out to you who, when you're going through discouragement. I remember there was always a sister who, you know, when I was in college, you know, I was very spotty in my attendance to meeting. And she used to always, if she didn't see me, she would call me and say, hey, brother, you know, we didn't see you this Sunday or something like that. And I always remember that. She always would be someone who would reach out to me or find out where I am, what I'm doing. And so it's always good to have those sisters who are affectionate. But also, we see his son, our fellow soldier. And I think it's very important for us to remember that we're actively engaged in a spiritual warfare. Is that sometimes we forget and we are not alert as we should be. We know that the enemy is seeking to attack on all fronts. I mean, and he has so much mediums today. I mean, you know, you have the television, you have your phone, you have, you know, he has so much ways to get to us nowadays, is that, you know, it's prevalent. And so we have to be more and more aware and be active in our spiritual warfare. And so Paul was encouraged to see that this person was, that Archippus was a fellow soldier. He was somebody who was dedicated to the things of the Lord, but he was also reminded that we are in a spiritual warfare, and I think that's the importance. And I think these things will help us to have a good testimony. When we are aware, we're heightened that we're in a spiritual warfare, I think we'll be cognizant of the fact that, you know what, the enemy is always on attack. And I think that will help us in our Christian walk, because we wouldn't do some things because we know, okay, you know what? If I do this where, or if I go this place or do this thing, I can be affected spiritually. And I think this will help us in our Christian testimony. And so I think these are three things that in the house of testimony that we could be encouraged from. The next one is in 1 Corinthians. And this is the house of Chloe, chapter 1, verse 10. And it says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same things, that there be no divisions among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me, you my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And so house of Chloe speaks of pursuing of unity. A lot of people will say, well, you know, they told Paul and stuff like that. But I think they were troubled by what was happening. What happened is that people were dividing, being divided. There were some people were saying, well, they are Paul, of Apollos, of Cephas. That people were basically drawing after these different men. And I think it says that the house of Chloe, that they were reported that there were contentions among them. And I think that they were troubled by this. And they wanted to really see the unity of the brethren and see them unified around the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's also something that we should be pursued of also, unity amongst the brethren. Some of the saddest things I see sometimes is people who try to tear down one another, right? You know, they would try to call you and tell you this about that and different things and stuff like that. And I think these are this what Paul's approach was, very good approach, right? He put it out in the open, right? And he said, this is what's happening. This is what's happening amongst us. There's a division among you that you be, but he wants us to be perfectly joined together by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He beseeched them. He begged them to have no division among you. It brings tears to the Lord's heart when there's division amongst his saints. It says in Psalms 133, it says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It brings joy to the Lord's heart. When there's unity amongst the Lord's people, you see the furtherance of the work. You see blessing amongst the saints. we've seen as we study in Nehemiah with the divisions and different things that happened, what it could cause, you know, the breakdown. And it's really a trick of the enemy, right? The accuser of the brethren is the enemy, right? And so he uses certain people to bring these things, but it's for us to stop those things and for us to pursue unity, pursue peace, one another. He says, be joined together and be in the same judgment, the same mind. You know what I'm saying? He encouraged them to do these things. And I believe that we should be of those of the house of Chloe, be those who would be an encouragement in terms of the pursuing of peace. And these are just, again, just three households. I have some more, but I won't take them up for today. I think at another time, hopefully as the Lord willing, we can take up some more. But these are just three households that I wanted to touch on, and hopefully we can use these in our everyday life as we go through this life, that we can use an encouragement, that we be those who pursue unity, pursue peace. We can be those who can have a testimony in this world and be those who will go in evangelism to in uncomfortable situations, maybe to people who don't look like us, maybe to places that are hostile towards us, but we should share what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us and go into the highways and the byways and encourage others. These are just some simple thoughts. For his name's sake, amen. Amen.
Let's turn back to Philemon just briefly. There is a little time. And look at that household again, as our brother brought to our attention. Paul wrote letters when he was in prison, and the letter he wrote to Philemon was one of those letters. And if we look at the time he wrote from Rome. He was there in prison, and he wrote about a slave that had run away, and Philemon himself was the owner of that slave. And when the slave ran away, he was not a believer. And through circumstances, somehow he came in contact with Paul. Perhaps he was thrown into the same prison. We're not given the details. But it led to that slave's salvation. And Paul writes this letter to Philemon. And I just want to connect what we read here about these three individuals. Philemon himself, the father and the husband, a fellow laborer, his wife, Apphia, beloved. And then what many believe is his son, Archippus, and he's a fellow soldier, as we had just heard, and the church in their house. What a beautiful testimony. He was probably a very wealthy man. Not many were noble that were called, right? Not many wise, Paul would say in another epistle. But here's one that was noble. Here is one that no doubt was a man of means, and he was able to have his home opened up and used in this way. And Paul's writing to him. Where did he live? He lived in Colossae. And let's just turn to Colossians chapter 4, page 1811 in the Chapel Bible. And I want to read, there's a lot of commendations in this last chapter, in chapter 4. But let's read verse 17. Colossians 4, verse 17. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. So many believe that this was the son of Philemon, and he was being exhorted in the letter to the assembly, Colossae, to not neglect this gift that was given to him, the ministry. And so there's kind of a hint of what it may have been. Perhaps it was a preaching ministry, but he says here in Philemon, he calls him my fellow soldier. So I would suggest that this was a spiritual use of the word soldier, and I would suggest that he was a young man who defended the faith, that he was a soldier for Christ. And Paul's saying, we need those young men who are defenders of the faith. And how do we defend the faith? We know the word. We have overcome the devil. 1 John, right? Chapter 2. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. How do we overcome the wicked one? By knowing the word. He can no longer trick us. We know the word. And so it's an encouragement in this family to see husband and wife and one of their children following the Lord. This expression, take heed to the ministry in Colossians 4 verse 17, reminds us of what Paul said to Timothy. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, for example, Paul writes in verse 12, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership." Timothy was blessed by the fellowship of others to serve the Lord, and he was given, so to speak, the right hand of fellowship to do so. And now he's being exhorted in that first letter, don't neglect it. And in the second epistle, Paul has to repeat this. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." So no doubt Paul was one of those, one of the elders that participated in this right hand of fellowship, we might say. And we all need that. Being part of the household and family of God, we need to use what the Lord has given us. We need to stir it up. We need to use it. We use an expression, if you don't use it, you lose it. If you neglect the gift that God has given you, by the way, he's entrusted it to you and you have a responsibility with it. It kind of loses its effectiveness after time if we're not going to use what God has given us. So what he entrusts to us, first and foremost, we're responsible to him. And it's not because we're trying to attract attention to ourselves, but rather be used of the Lord. And Archippus, call him Archie, Archippus, he needed to be reminded, and Timothy needed to be reminded, and we all need to be reminded. It doesn't matter what age we are. If the Lord has gifted us, let's use those gifts. And those gifts are many, as we've seen, evangelism, prophecy, soldiers, laborers. There's so many ways the Lord can use us, and let's be effective and let's be used by the Lord, as Paul would write to the Colossian saints and point out this young man, you know, don't neglect what you have been given, and would write to Timothy in a different way, a personal letter to him. So may the Lord encourage us. Let's close in prayer. Our loving God and Father, we thank you for thy word. We're thankful that there were these many households that would remind us of these different aspects of the Christian life and how we can have thy glory in mind as we would evangelize and preach and be faithful laborers and so forth, that we would show forth our life in Christ, that people could see there's something different in us. We thank thee too for the example of Philemon's home opened up for the saints, using what he was entrusted with in a natural way, his success in his work that enabled him to have a home that was able to be used by thee. May we use our homes for thee too. And may it be an encouragement to all those around, including the saints of God. We thank thee for these thoughts from thy word, and we ask thy blessing, added blessing on them. We give thanks as we would leave now, and we ask thee to watch over each one, bring each one safely to their destinations. We pray this all in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.